Thank you, Lord. Just a strong word this morning. I mean, that's the crooked straight and the rough is smooth. Wow. That's for somebody. My Lord. The crooked is straight and the rough is made smooth. It's for somebody. My gosh. I think we can go home now, huh? Dang. I'm going to get there. I promise y'all. I'm going to get there. Just give me a minute. Yeah. Hallelujah. We need to be thinking about Pastor Paul this morning. He's at the house mending. I think he's probably on some heavy narcotic right now. Prescribed by a doctor. You know. Huh? You took it to him last night? Thanks, Rocky. Of course, Rocky knows where to get narcotics. If anybody in the church needs some narcotics, call Rocky. Rocky, just bring them by the house. Yeah. No, there ain't no doctoring in that. There's no doctor there, man. Oh, yeah. That was a joke, yes. But let me thinking about Paul this morning. Yeah. His body is whole in Jesus' name. Yeah. He asked me to prepare a message. Paul's been on, you know, that the Son of God was manifested for the purpose of destroying the works of the enemy, the works of the devil. And he asked me to prepare, you know, some thoughts on and a message or two on the armor of God, you know, and the preparation of the armor of God. And he told me this about a week or so ago, maybe. Or a few days ago, he said, "Man, I need you to do that. I'm gonna have a couple more Sundays, and then I want you." Okay, all right. I'll get that thing ready. And then he calls me yesterday. "Hey, I need you to preach it tomorrow." And so, I kind of knew what I was gonna do. Yeah, I knew what I was gonna do. But we're gonna get in it. We're gonna talk about the armor of God this morning, and I'm not gonna finish. Okay, I'm already ready, well prepared for that. This is a 2-3 Sunday kind of thing. You know, that we're going to get into. So you may get part of it this morning, and then we may wait a few Sundays and then get back into it So anyway, we're going to dive into this thing. I need you guys to be believing with me that the way that it comes out, this is what I've been talking to God about since yesterday, and is that it comes out right is the best way I could put it. Because I can say this in about a million different ways, because it's a subject that I've loved for many years, and it's been taught many different ways, and there's so many different angles and directions and perceptions and all that kind of thing, but that the right thing come out this morning. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. You open the eyes of our understanding. Make this clear and plain, so that we can understand it, Lord. We want to receive this morning from you. We don't want to miss any part of it. We want to get the whole bit that you want to bring to us this morning, Lord. So give us now that spirit, wisdom and revelation in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agreed with that, said amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 is where this kind of begins. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against the spiritual host and wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand..." Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Glory to God, there's so much in here. There's so much in this little snippet that Paul is bringing us in the Spirit. So many things about how we are to fight the good fight of faith. How do we stand? How do we fight? And he's trying to bring into all the necessary equipment in fighting this fight that we have to fight. See, now Paul Gray has been talking about us destroying the works of the enemy. That whenever we see the works of the enemy, that whenever they're there and they begin to manifest themselves in front of us, that we have been sent there to fix that problem, to take care of whatever that is that's come up. I love how he brought out that TL said that, you know, the anointing is resting on the problem, waiting for somebody to show up and fix it. All right, I'm gonna say that one again. The anointing is resting on the problem. It's there. The anointing is not there for you to tote around and just to feel good all day long. The anointing is sitting there on the problem, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to manifest it in that place. That's where the anointing resides. It sits there waiting for us to show up as the children of God, as the people that are part of the army of God, the called of God, to show up and use the equipment that's been given to us in the Spirit to fix the problem, to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy his works. That's what we are put here for. All of this that we do and everything that we learn is not so that we can look good, drive fancy cars, live in nice houses, and feel good today. No, we learn these things and we get these things so that we can better those that are around us. If it was just for you, then if it was just for you, it was just you, just for you, and only you, that wouldn't be fair to the rest of us. It really wouldn't. It's really not fair. And I'm finna kick over a cow. Yeah, cow tipping today, CCAM. You know it has been brought in the kingdom of God, in the realm of God, in the family of God. For some reason, we have set our leadership, our pastoralship, our apostleship, any of the fivefold ministries you want, we've set them on this big high-rise pedestal that they are all that in bag of tater chips, which they are. There's no question. They're called of God. Yes, we need to honor them, but they are not the only ones called into battle. Their purpose is simply to equip us for this work that we've been called to do. That's what they are there for. And so many times we take them and we put them up, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. It's just our perspective has to change. That look, this spot right here, so many people tell me, I want to be a full-time ministry, full-time ministry, full-time ministry, full-time ministry. I understand that, but this spot right here is the lowest place to get in the kingdom of God. You want to be in a low place, you get right here. This is a low place right here. This is servant number one. That's what we do. We're the first servant number one right here. That's what we do. The anointing to do either a pastoral or the fivefold gifts, ministry gifts, whatever the case may be, that anointing is there to equip us, including me. It's here to equip us to go do what we're supposed to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even in the afternoon Sunday after the Saints play. You know? That's what it's there for. And so whenever I get over into the kingdom, into this armor of God, you have to realize, brethren and sisterin, that you have been called to put this stuff on and use it. Use it. Make use of what God has given us in the Spirit. Make use of all the giftings. Make use of all the talents. Make use of everything that He's placed on the inside of us to change a situation. My God, how many opportunities have we had in the public eye to simply say, let me pray for you. You don't look like you're having a good day. Let me help you. How about a little joy? Oh my gosh. We are the called of God. We are called. We are called to change this world. We're here to make a difference every day. I love the Tolkien works, you know, like the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit and all that kind of stuff, right? I think it's in the Hobbit, one of them. You know, there's three movies, Lord of the Rings, and there's three movies, Hobbit. And the Hobbit and Gandalf, who is this Gandalf the Grey? He's this wizard, you know, right? Just bear with me. I'm going somewhere. And anyhow, Gandalf makes a statement about how the hobbits, which are little people, which seem to be insignificant, and how much power is in the little things in life, the little small acts of just pureness and love and sincerity that change the world in which we live in. And I'm not saying that we're hobbits, but we're called to such a great purpose. But that great purpose is fulfilled in such a small way. A small, simple way. It's not this big, grandiose thing that's out. No, no. It's the small, little things. The small, little things. Wednesday night, we taught in a live Wednesday night. Angela and I did. And, you know, I guess it was good. I don't know. We taught and we expounded upon some things that felt like the Lord needed us to say. But the most important thing that happened that night was that he told me that somebody needed to be filled with the Spirit and for me to sit my butt in that chair until they came up and asked for it. And I told the group, I said, I'm going to stay right here because the Lord just won't leave me alone. Somebody needs to be filled with the Spirit. Little small thing seemed like. And I sat there for what? 20 minutes? I sat there a long time, and finally, the person just like, it just broke in them, and they were able to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I mean, it was just awesome. They just, you know, just listening to God tell us to do what we need to do. Do this little thing right here, and you go and you do it, and it changes somebody's life. Man, stand therefore. See, whenever we're talking about standing and you look at the armor of God, so many of us look at it from a defensive standpoint. We look at it as if we're having to play defense the whole time. That's the way we look at this thing. And we think just because it's a helmet and a breastplate and you got a shield and that we're supposed to be playing defense. Or that if we're standing, oh, let me stand and see if I can hold up against everything that's going on. No, it's standing in a place of authority. It's standing and fighting from a place of victory. It would be like that there's a, you know, that the all right, I'll go there, Lord. The Roman Empire kind of infiltrated the world during the time period that this was written. Okay? Y'all with me? Romans are going around. They are just building their empire. They're laying waste to a whole lot of different tribes and cities, and they're doing their thing to spread their gospel, so to speak, throughout the world. Wasn't real good news, but, you know, it was good news to them, I guess. And so they're taking this thing throughout the world and spreading it. When the Roman soldiers were in the towns and in the cities that they were in, if they saw something that went against what the emperor had said it should have been, they would go and attack it. And that was from a standpoint of standing in the authority that had been given to them to change the outcome and the environment that was around them, to change what was around them. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have been sent here to change the environment. So everything I'm talking about, when I bring this thing up, when I say stand and putting on the armor, I'm not talking about like we have to protect ourselves from the enemy. Oh my gosh, he's going to hurt. No, it is a standing with authority. It's taking our place to stand and to what's the word I'm looking for? To enact and to push to make plain God's will on this earth. You with me? Okay. Moving on. Finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on, verse 11, the whole armor of God. It also says it again. It says it in verse 13 that you put on the whole armor of God. If you look at different translations, the Passion Translation says this in verse 11. It says, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. Put on the whole thing. It says, because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides as you're protected, as you confront the slanderer or as you confront the enemy. We put on this whole armor to attack the enemy. And the reason why I bring this up is that we have to take on not only the breastplate of righteousness, but we have to put on the belt of truth. We have to shod our feet with the gospel of peace, right? We have to have the sword of the Spirit. And we take up the helmet of salvation. We have to take on the full gospel. We have to take on the full teaching of God. We can't just pick and choose little pieces. Right now, Sunday morning, it's happening. It's 11 o'clock, Central Standard Time. It's happening right now in the Central Time Zone. Right now, probably thousands upon thousands of churches having messages and having service right now while we're sitting here having ours. And they spend all of their time talking about nothing but that helmet of salvation. You need to get saved. Man, you got to get saved. You get saved? Have you been saved? Just as I am. You know, and they go over and over and over again talking about the helmet of salvation, bringing up that you have to get saved. You've been saved today? Maybe next week. We'll get you saved again next week whenever you come in. And you remember last week you got baptized. Last week, we need to baptize you again. You don't need to get saved. Y'all gotten saved yet? What happens if you're going to die today? You're going to go to hell or what? Are you saved yet? Hey, anybody in here saved? Y'all saved yet? Not. I mean, y'all see what I'm talking about? And the churches after churches after churches, spend Sunday after Sunday after Sunday talking about the helmet of salvation. And next thing you know, you got everybody saved, but then they don't know what to do after that, Hutton. They just, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be saved. And then I'm going to come to church saved, and I'm going to continue to be saved. And then I'm going to start sitting in the back being saved. And then I might go fishing being saved. And then I might go hunting being saved. And I might decide to skip whole month being saved because they just, all right, I'm saved. What's next? What's the next piece? We have to take on the full armor, the whole armor of God. Salvation's pretty stinking cool. It's awesome. The word salvation is sozo, which means just pretty much everything that you need in life has been provided and given to you. Great. Boom. That's awesome. Now what? What's next? I don't know. We got to put on the entire armor of God, the whole armor of God. I don't know. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Huh? Everybody's running around naked if they just put on the helmet. I mean, I could see a Roman soldier running around with just a helmet on. Like, have y'all ever seen The Gladiator? Yeah? Yeah? Could you imagine Russell Crowe? Wasn't that his name? The actor's name? What was he? It was Maximus? Yeah, Maximus would just, you remember that cool helmet that he had on that had a little thing and had the spikes on and it was really cool looking and you couldn't really see his face? But what if he only had that on? Then Tiberius or whoever that guy was that had that little thing that come down and he'd have hurt him bad. It would have hurt him bad because all he had was a helmet on. Keep pulling my shirt down. It's creeping up on me. Anyhow, we put on the entire armor of God. All these pieces we have to have, and we have to understand their function and what they're used for. We can't just sit around and just have one piece and think that everything's going to work out with that one piece. It's like trying to work on a car with only one screwdriver. Spud, can you work on an engine with just a Phillips head screwdriver? He says no. Not the right way, yeah. Yeah. You could probably just tear it up, huh? Or maybe just one socket set, you know? You got to have all the tools. That's right. If you're going to do a job, you got to have all the tools to do the job right. These are tools that we must use. These are tools that we have to use, every last one of them. Not just a couple of them. The whole thing. All right. Y'all looking at me funny, so I'm going to keep going. I'm getting all this. I wonder when the Saints are going to start playing. Do they play at 12 or is it 3? The whole armor of God. Why do we put on the whole armor of God? Check this out. He says that we put on the whole armor of God, verse 13. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to withstand. Withstand. Now, this word withstand is really the term resist. Okay? It's not like being able to hold up something, but it's more like a resisting of something. That you don't allow the thing to happen. That you don't let the thought of a particular thing to infiltrate your brain and make you think a particular way. Are y'all with me? That this thought comes in and it makes you think that you're not all that. And that we're not going to get there and we're not going to make it. And things are not going to be good, and then things are going to be bad, and then they're going to get worse, and then they're worse from there, and then it's going to be even worse from that, and then things are going to even be badder than that, and then next thing you know, I'm just going to die. That's just going to be it, and then I just need to die. All right, it's to withstand, to resist that kind of thing from happening. Look here, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you take a look at resisting the devil, all we have to do is whenever we see something that's there, we have to resist it. We have to just, hey, that's not there. That's not the truth. It's not really what's happening. We have to, it ain't going to happen. I can't allow it to happen because that, I have to resist that thing. When I resist that thing, then the devil's going to flee from me. Amen. Yep. Amen, Greg. Amen. All right, let's get into it. I'm going to skip all of that. And we're going to go to verse 14, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And then I'm going to get y'all out of here. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, to gird something, the word girt means to encompass or surround, okay? That you're to surround yourself with truth. Now, some translations call it a belt, okay? I found one that was really cool. If you put it up there, Stephen, it's really cool. Stand therefore having the utility belt of truth. I love that. I was like, immediately, you know what I thought? What I think? Batman. Amen. Amen. Immediately. Batman. Huh? Toolman. Yeah. No. Batman. Not Toolman. Batman. Okay? Batman had a utility belt. He had his bat spray. Anti-bat shark spray. Yeah. Anti-shark spray. All right? And then he had his batarang in there. And he had his bat toothpaste. And he had his bat lip balm in there. And he had his little batarangs deals. And he had his grappling hook. The bat grappling hook, and he had his bat key fob to his Batmobile, you know. I mean, everything was in the utility belt. It's the same thing with our utility belt. It was the most important piece of the Roman soldier's armor. Let me read this. He put around your waist a very wide belt, and it was a holder of a lot of equipment. There was a loop where the sword would go. So if you didn't have this belt on, you wouldn't have a place for the sword to go. The scabbard was held in the belt. So if you didn't have that on, it wouldn't be a place for it to go. You would just not have a place to put your sword. It had ropes, and you could hold ropes on there, and their ration sack was on this belt. All right, so the rations that they would need to make it through the day were on this belt. And see, it's the utility belt of truth is what it is, Spud. It's truth that we wrap around us. Now, what do I mean by truth? Well, it's y'all know where I'm going to go. It's that the Word of God has been called over and over and over again that this is the truth. It's not facts, okay? Facts are good, but just because a thing is a fact does not necessarily mean that it's the truth. Prime example, you got cancer in your body. It may be a fact that you have cancer in the body, but the truth says by his stripes you've been healed. So you actually have healing. It's just the cancer's manifested itself, and you need to get rid of that stuff and cast it out in Jesus' name and have the truth to become evident in your life as opposed to something else that's out there. Amen? Y'all with me on this thing? So Psalm 119:160, don't have to turn there, but the entirety of your word is truth. 2 Samuel 7:28, now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. Psalm 119 again, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. 119:151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. 119:142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us that this word of God is 100% absolute truth. So if we get away from thinking about this thing as a natural belt, but we look at it as the belt of truth in the Spirit that we're to wrap or to gird ourselves, to wrap ourselves around completely with the truth of God's Word. It should be the first thing that we put on. The first bit that we start to get in our mind is to understand and to see and to begin to let God reveal to us that His truth supersedes and surpasses anything and everything that we see in this world. Anything and everything that we see in this world, if it doesn't line up with this, then it's not true. If it doesn't line up here, it's not true. It's not true. Thoughts of suicide are not true, because this thing doesn't say you're supposed to do that. It says that we're going to live a long time on this earth. It says that you have 70 to 80 years, and some even further beyond that. If you just believe God and by faith, go beyond that. That spirit of unworthiness that leads itself to suicide is straight from the pit of hell. And it doesn't have any right in your life. It doesn't have any right in my life. And just take care of it. Get the truth on you. Get the truth on you. That thing is prevalent nowadays. It's coming up in our young people. And not only is it young people, it's getting into our adults. Adults trying to take their lives out early, snuff themselves out early because they don't think they're good enough. Because why? Don't know the truth. Don't have this belt on, this belt of truth. It's the first step, Hutt, when you go to put the stuff on. The belt's the first thing. You got to slap that joker on. It's a utility belt. It's got a bunch of stuff in it. Got to have it. So the next thing is the breastplate of righteousness. Isn't that what it says in there? And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now see, the understood subject in all of this is that you have put this stuff on. You having put on the breastplate of righteousness, you having girt yourself about with the belt of truth, you got to put this stuff on. Think about what Bruce Wayne, he wasn't Batman till he what? He had to put a suit on. He didn't have the Batarang until he put the belt on, right? And he could be cut up right until he put the breastplate on. Now the Roman breastplate was something kind of cool, all right? It kind of opened up. Y'all have seen them before on the movies, hadn't you? It kind of opens itself up and you kind of put it around. It's kind of like a big, you look like a big old trash can whenever you get done. It's this big metal, aluminum looking thing. You know, it goes on the front and the back. See, the breastplate doesn't just handle just the front side of you, but it wraps itself around you and it would connect to the belt. Okay? The breastplate of righteousness would connect, the breastplate would connect to the belt, which meant that the belt would hold the breastplate and the breastplate would hold the belt. So all of that, once it's in line with itself and with each other, once those things were put in line and put in their place, they wouldn't move. No matter where no matter what happened to the soldier, no matter where he went, no matter how many hills he had to climb, no matter how many crooked places he had to go through, no matter how much he jut and wobbled and all that kind of thing, that breastplate and that belt would stay firm. They would stay static and not move and protect the soldier from his neck down to his nethers. He was covered. Completely covered. So if we think about it, I had to say nethers because Paul said I couldn't use any other word but that. I had so many different words that I wanted to say, but he wouldn't let me say them. I was going to say all kinds of stuff, but it's Facebook Live and, you know, yeah, I'll tell you at lunch for sure. Yeah, yeah. But from their neck to the nethers, they were covered. Okay? Now, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. I promise. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It covered from the neck, with being added with the belt of truth, from the neck to the nethers. Y'all with me? All of the vital organs were now protected. Everything that was considered to be vital was connected. So if the enemy was to shoot any kind of arrow or was to take any kind of sword and try to jab it, the vital organs were protected. The stuff that mattered. Okay? This is done with adding the truth and the breastplate of righteousness together. All right? For us as Christians, and from a spiritual standpoint, if we don't understand our righteous position in the kingdom of God, then we have not covered the vital things of life. We have now exposed the vital things of life. Now, what are you talking about, Greg? Well, the first thing that you have to know is that if you've accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, you're righteous. You are righteous. Jesus, your Lord, boom, righteousness gets in there. Now, what does righteousness mean? Simply broken down with all the different ways that you could say it and all the Greek stuff that's out there is right. That's what it means. It means that you are right. And this is one of the primary places where the enemy spends so much time trying to keep us off of this thing, because if he can convince you that you're not good enough for God, he can keep the breastplate off of you, and now your vital organs are being exposed and you could get hurt real bad. He could come right at you real quick because you don't have a clear understanding taking the truth and attaching it to the breastplate of righteousness. You don't have a clear understanding of what's rightfully yours and who you rightfully are. You don't understand your position. You don't understand what Jesus has done for you. You are completely exposed to everything the enemy wants to do to you. I'll give you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Will you put that one up there for me, Stephen? Pretty please. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Stephen Sorrells, not Dickerson. You did it? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ himself became sin with our sin. We as believers became righteous with his righteousness. He became sin with our sin. Our sin was placed upon him. My sin was put on him. He was made that way. Because whenever he walked the earth, he was absolutely 100% perfect. The only one of us that's ever been perfect, him. Everything he did was perfect in the sight of God and in the eyes of God. Everything. He was a perfect sacrifice. The Bible says that he was the lamb that was slain before time began. He was perfect in every single way, just as right as you could possibly be. And our sin, my sin, your sin, the sin of the entire, everybody's sin was taken and placed on him, and he was made sin with our sin. He didn't do nothing. He didn't have sin in him. He became sin for us. Now watch this. Watch me. If my sin was placed upon him, and the judgment of God fell on him while my sin was on him, then why do I even pay attention to it today? See, the enemy will get you so caught up with what you are doing wrong and how bad you're acting and how much sin is in your life that you will become so sin conscious that you don't even realize that the righteousness of God is yours today, and he exposes you. You expose yourself. You just tear your breastplate off because I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I'm not that. Of course not. You're not Jesus. You weren't called to be that. You were called to be a believer in what he did. And his righteous state, his rightness with God, his perfection is placed on us. and we pick it up and we attach it to the word of truth. We attach it to the belt of truth and we get ourselves completely covered in that righteousness. Every vital organ is covered. Family, money, health, wealth. What we're supposed to do in life, all those things are covered because we understand our righteous state. We understand that Jesus took on all of that nasty, all of that bad, all of that poorness, all that sickness, all of every vile thing that you could think, He took and became our vileness for us. Why do we spend so much time thinking about our sin? Why? He took it. 1 John 1:9. That's not on there, but go to it real quick. 1 John 1:9. It's good, man. He took it. He took our sin. All of them. The ones you have committed, the ones you're committing right now, and the ones that you could commit in the future. All of them. Look at that. What's that say? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If all your unrighteousness is gone, then what's left? Righteousness. Simple math. I like that. I'm not trying to give you a free ticket on sinning. I'm telling you that if Jesus is your Lord, you ought not want to. You ought not want to do that. And if you do, you go here, you give it to Him, just like what Stephen was saying, that God came and he'd take it. He'll pull it away. And now you're back in your righteous state and you got your breastplate right back on. Protected and ready for anything that the enemy brings our way. Anything. Quit spending so much time on your sin. My Lord. He said, I am He who blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. It's Isaiah 45, is that right? 43, 45. God's not even looking at it. When He sees you, He sees the work, and the blood of Jesus is all He can see. When He looks upon you, He sees perfection. When He sees you in every right way that you could possibly be. You're not a disappointment to God at all. None of you are. That's a word for somebody in here right now. You are not a disappointment to God. He looks upon you and sees perfection. He smiles with the smile of a proud father to know that you are doing exactly what He needs you to do. Get rid of the consciousness of your sin. Let it go. If you don't, you've exposed yourself. And it can hurt you. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Just take some time in your word. I triple dog dare you. I did it. Triple dog dare you. I did this years ago. I got a book. Kenneth Hagin wrote a little bitty small little book called In Him. I got that thing, all right? Talks about all the scriptures that talk about who you are in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, all this kind of thing. All those things were in there. And over and over and over, the Word kept saying, He who's righteous, this happens. Because of your righteousness, this happens. If you're righteous, then this happens. If you're justified, then this happens. I triple dog dare you to get your belt of truth out and take it and start looking at the truth of God's Word and see what is really yours. It'll blow your mind. I dug through it, but I can't remember all that mess. I mean, it was tons. Tons of scriptures about what happens if you're righteous. What happens if you're justified? Who you are when you're righteous. Who you are when you're justified. Whenever you're made right in the sight of God, all of these things blah, 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 are yours. And the only way and how you got to be righteous is simply believing on Jesus. He did all the work. He paid all the price. He took all the steps that were necessary. He did everything that was necessary to make you 100% right in the eyes of God. And now he stands as our adversary. He stands, and every day he is ever making intercession for us. He is ever standing in the gap. He is ever saying, no, I paid the price. No, it's not on them. I paid the price for that sickness. No, I paid the price for that sin. No, I paid the price for that poorness. I paid the price for that lack. I have paid the price. Every day he stands at the throne of God and says that I paid the price. It's been paid. Now, therefore, walk in the righteousness that I've freely given you. My God. We as a church, we should be so in the face of the enemy. Anything that even looks like it's not even remotely close to what this thing says, we ought to be right on it. Because Jesus paid so much, so much, so much, and took on all of that was all the vileness of us. Every vile thing I have done, am doing, and could do, he took it that day. Why do I even think about it, Hutt? We were. We need to get it out of our minds. You got to get your mind right, Luke. Y'all remember that? Cool Hand Luke. You got to get your mind right, Luke. Get your mind right. We've got to get our minds right as a church. We're put here for a purpose. Every last one of us. I want to be called to full-time ministry. You are. Right now, today. Your paycheck may not come from the church, but you're in full-time ministry. Oh, you want a job. Okay, well, if you want a job at the church, you put in an application whenever a position is open and see if you get it. But if you want to be in full-time ministry, get that you're there now. You're there now. Triple dog dare you to act like you're a minister of God tomorrow morning at 8:30. I dare you. Get to work and start seeing where the works of the devil are. Get to work with your belt of truth on, connected to your breastplate of righteousness, and roll up in that thing and see if you don't see the devil moving around. He's moving around all up in there, and take care of it. Triple dog dare you. Don't wait for me to show up. I ain't coming. I'm going to be at work. Well, no, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's a day off, isn't it? Glory to God. Tomorrow's Columbus Day. Hallelujah. Woo! All the bankers said amen. Amen. Yeah. 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 So Tuesday, you know, if you need me to show up at your work and take care of the devil tomorrow, I guess I could. Just call me. But Tuesday, I can't, because I'm going to be doing my thing. Each one of us has a thing to do. We are called to full-time ministry, 100%. 100%. Take on the whole armor of God. Begin to understand what is yours and what is your right. And change this world. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Y'all stand up. Thank you, Lord.